tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 23rd of February, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to look at something that is related to the grooming gangs, and it's about Keir Starmer, who was actually the chief of prosecutions at the time when the grooming gangs were being let off. Recently, there's been an interview that Liz Truss carried out with Maggie Oliver, who was the police officer at the time who was trying to expose these things as they were going on. And she said something very interesting in this interview. Maggie Oliver said, "I have no doubt that the strings for this in Rochdale," and by this she means the cover-up, "were being pulled by Keir Starmer." She says, "The concealment of the grooming gangs was deliberate and intentional." Now, Keir Starmer was the chief of prosecutions at the time, so anytime anybody wanted to prosecute anybody, that had to pass through Keir Starmer's office, and he had to say whether people could be prosecuted or weren't prosecuted. And he famously said that Jimmy Savile should not be prosecuted. Well, it also looks like he said that these grooming gangs should not be prosecuted. And the article that I have today isn't actually about the grooming gangs. It's about something else that Keir Starmer did at that time that is related. And he effectively let pedophiles off with a warning note. And I'm taking this from GB News. "Keir Starmer was last night accused of letting child sex offenders off with a warning when he was overseeing Britain's prosecution service, with critics of the Prime Minister demanding urgent answers. Critics have declared the Prime Minister's position as completely untenable after revelations that he oversaw the use of paedophile ASBOs that allowed suspects to get off with a mere warning." Well, even if they don't just give them a warning, they'll just give them a suspended sentence. Look at that horrible BBC paedophile that was Hugh Edwards. He just got a suspended sentence after having however many images it was on his phone and acting on these urges that he had, trying to groom young boys, and he was just given a suspended sentence. There was the judge that was in my trial, he was presided over a trial where a Muslim imam had actually raped a young girl. I forget how old she was, 11 years old, something like that. Actually raped her in the mosque. And he allowed the rapist to have a suspended sentence. When I was actually in jail, actually after I was in jail and I was in the bail hostel, as I may have said this before, it became quite clear that we were looked at as if we had deliberately carried out offences, whereas the paedophiles couldn't help carrying out the offences because what the paedophiles had was a form of sexuality and they just couldn't resist raping children. And they were looked at as if they had no choice in what they had done, whereas we common criminals, we deliberately made a choice to break the law. So in that aspect, they were actually looked at as being better than the general criminal. And because of this, I think they have this urge not to actually put them in prison. And also because there's been such a massive increase in the number of pedophiles. And of course, I'm not saying, oh, all pedophiles are non-white or anything like that. I think the majority of pedophiles are actually white and they act as individuals. But in the grooming gang cases, the majority of them are not white, and they act together as a group. And as has been revealed in Rupert Lowe's rape gang inquiry, a large number of the surrounding community knew about this and did nothing about it. A lot of these rapes that were taking place were between cousins and uncles and brothers, and they were all taking turns at raping the young white girl. So it's very, very different, the child abuse that is related to the grooming gangs and the child abuse that is related to the individual pedophiles. And it seems that while Keir Starmer was chief of prosecutions, they were just giving out these pedophile ASBOs rather than actually investigating these pedophiles. The investigation found documents from his time as Britain's top prosecutor describing how the Prime Minister was drafting and agreeing warning notices with police chiefs that whistleblowers say have been given to suspected child rapists. And it seems that once they had given out these notes, the police would consider, oh, well, that's dealt with now. We've given them one of these notes asking them not to abuse the child. The warning notices were drawn up as part of the CPS's national strategy to tackle violence against women and girls, with a spokesman for Number 10 emphasising that they are not a substitute for prosecution, but rather act as a first line of defence to keep young people safe and often as part of an ongoing investigation. Well, it would also make the suspected pedophile aware of who it was that was making this allegation against them as well, wouldn't it? Which would put the person who was reporting this, which would actually put them at risk. And the fact that they've just given them this note saying, well, if just don't go near that child anymore, and that's it, we'll just draw a line under it after that. I mean, that's incredible that they could think that this was all that they needed to do. Police say that the child abduction warning notice, which were in use years before this document was published in 2010, are an effective way of protecting a child who is regularly missing, but may also be used to address controlling grooming-type behaviour which is not associated with missing episodes. They typically warn an adult that they have no permission to associate, communicate, or have any contact with the affected child. Maggie Oliver, who exposed the Rochdale grooming gangs scandal, described them as an ASBO for pedophiles. So this is all they were doing, is giving this out, and they weren't investigating them. And Maggie Oliver is the one who is saying that there's this link between Keir Starmer. She's certain that Keir Starmer, who was the chief prosecutor at the time, that he was involved in the cover-up of what she was investigating. The retired detective told The Express, "I worked on a case where we had identified 97 child abusers. That investigation should have led to serious charges of child rape on a pretty industrial scale. I expected multiple charges of rape against possibly dozens of men. But instead, they warned a couple of men under the child abduction warning notices. My opinion is that they were used to get rid of a job." So far from just being the first line of defence, they were seen as that was it. That's it. The investigation is concluded now. We've given them this note saying that they're not allowed to talk to the child. The investigation by The Express claimed the early intervention tool was often used instead of evidence gathering, and no research was ever conducted into their effectiveness. So this was their excuse to just not even take the case any further. And you think of that, 97 rapists, all of a child, and all they did was give a couple of this note saying, oh, you're not allowed to talk to the child. The note wasn't even enforced. It doesn't actually tell you, that's what it says, there was no research ever conducted into their effectiveness. So they never even bothered to look to see whether these notices were actually effective and stopped the rapist from raping the child. One officer from Rotherham, quoted in the Independent Office for Police Conduct grooming gang investigation, raised concerns that they were dishing out the notices like confetti, but failing to follow up when they were breached. So when people reported that these notes hadn't actually worked and that a child was still being abused by the person from the grooming gang, the police just didn't follow it up because that was all they did was give the note out. They must have had no procedure for actually arresting people for breaking what it said on the note. Clearly, the note actually didn't have any full force of the law behind it. Reform UK's Shadow Home Affairs spokesman, Zia Youssef, said the details made the Prime Minister's position completely untenable. Interesting that, of course, this is GB News. They have to give Zia Youssef's comments on any news which sort of passes their desk, which really shows that they are not impartial. If they were impartial, they would be asking Rupert Lowe for his opinion on some of these topics. But, of course, they won't. They will only ask Reform UK about these topics. Zia Youssef said, instead of fighting for the full force of the law against vile grooming gang predators, Keir Starmer presided over a system that sent out weak and useless warning letters to paedophiles. So this is directly down to Keir Starmer, who was heading the office at this time. The letters, known officially as child abduction warning notices, can be issued by junior police officers to people they believe to be engaged in inappropriate relationships with minors. In the wake of the Rochdale and Rotherham scandals, police forces across the country made warning notices a cornerstone of efforts to, quote, disrupt child sexual exploitation networks, as prosecutions are notoriously difficult to achieve. So they just saw that this was the solution to all their problems. We'll just hand out this note without the force of law behind it. We won't bother to actually enforce it, but then we can tick the box saying that we've actually done something about these credible reports of child rape going on. At least 13,000 were used between 2008 and 2025, not including one of the largest single examples, Operation Sanctuary, which handed out 220 notices to men involved with a Newcastle-based grooming gang. You know, think about that, 220 men involved in this grooming gang, all raping this one child and trafficking this one child. And instead of investigating and prosecuting them, they just give them a note saying, would you mind not talking to that child, please? The child abduction warning notices carry no legal power or punishment if breached, but can form part of a later prosecution. So they're absolutely worthless. All they did was mean that the police no longer could say, oh, well, we've done something about it. And it meant that the a person that was carrying out the rapes had been told who it was that had reported them. Susan Boxall, whose daughter Georgie died tragically, aged 17, from a lethal overdose given to her by a 25-year-old man, who had two warning notices from police, claimed that they gave a dangerous illusion of police action. So we have proof here that these notes were not followed. And following on from that, from the police not actually investigating this, the child ended up dying from an overdose. The man who was found guilty of supplying the drugs that led to Georgia Boxall's death had plied the teenager with drugs from the age of 13, when their relationship began. Despite repeated contact with police, he was never charged with any sexual offences or grooming. Interestingly, they used the word relationship there. Is that what you would call it when you have a grooming gang raping a child, that it's a relationship that they actually have? I don't think that's the correct word that they have there. Perhaps they have to say that because the man was never actually charged with grooming her, even though the mother says that he was the one that killed her. Starmer has blood on his hands, Mrs. Boxall told the Express. I did everything I could do. They had two abduction orders and he breached them. I was pleading with the police, but no one seemed to do anything. And of course, they didn't want to do anything because they thought that if they did do something about it, it would inflame community tensions and it would give ammunition to the far right, because at this time, the BNP were in the ascendant. The BNP were drawing attention to these rape gangs. And what the media was doing is they were secretly recording people like Mark Collette at private gatherings to try and get him to say use a racial slur, and then taking him to court. And all the mainstream media was saying, oh, these rape gangs don't exist. They're no such thing. It's just Islamophobic. It's just the BNP being racist. And in actual fact, now we have the proof that these rape gangs did exist. The BNP were speaking the truth, and yet no apology to them has been issued. There's been no apology to Marc Collet for drawing attention to this and for all the attacks that he suffered for doing that. A serious case review into Georgie's death, completed in October 2014, was highly critical of the warning notices, finding the letters failed not because of individual errors by officers, but because they were based on a weak legal premise. Number 10 did not comment on the Georgie Boxall case, but claimed there had been a mischaracterisation of the development of child abduction warning notices, which have been in use since at least the early 2000s. So they're saying that what the media is doing is mischaracterising them here. But we have evidence that this is what was done. And we can see that there was no legal weight behind them. So how can they say it's a mischaracterisation of them when you say, well, there was no legal weight behind them and they didn't actually prevent any child rapes? All they did was give the police an illusion that they were actually doing something about this. A spokesman for the Prime Minister said they are not a substitute for prosecution. Instead, they act as a first line of defence to keep young people safe and often as part of an ongoing investigation. As Director of Public Prosecutions, the Prime Minister secured the first grooming gang prosecutions more than a decade ago. And now his government is doing more than any before it to root out this vile crime. Well, why did it take 20 years before he actually did anything about it? This was going on in the 90s. Didn't just suddenly start taking place in 2014. Under this government, police are reviewing over 1,000 historic cases. Convictions are at record highs. We are bringing in mandatory reporting and doubling support for survivors. Well, the survivors don't seem to be too pleased with what the government have done about this. They all left the government's inquiry and said that it was all a stitch-up, and that it was just going to be the same people investigating the same people all over again. In fact, but there has been support for Rupert Lowe's rape gang inquiry, which the mainstream media have completely ignored. Well, I'd like to fit in another news story today, if I can. And, of course, I often say one of the problems with immigration is that you're bringing people in from non-white countries that haven't ever seen a woman before because they're covered from head to toe in a burqa, and they come to Britain and what they effectively see is naked women everywhere, and also the naked women that they see are all white girls, and white women are looked upon as the epitome of beauty. Some people might say, oh, well, that's racist, or oh, well, that's subjective. But there is a massive industry of skin whitening creams where non-white people will do everything they can to make themselves look as pale as possible. And we can even see this in China and Japan when they pictures of beauty there show these women with literal white, almost like white paint on their faces to make themselves look as white as possible. White women are the epitome of beauty. They will be perceived as being attractive to every other race, whereas females of these other races may not be perceived as attractive to people of other races, or perhaps they are, but just not as attractive. So you've got two problems there. You've got the fact that non-whites can come over here after never seeing a woman before, apart from in a burqa. And you've got the issue that the women that they are seeing are white women. And what we have here is a black man who explicitly wanted to rape a white girl. A man who told a mother and her crying children, "I want to rape a white girl," while exposing himself, has now been jailed. So he's quite open about that. Was he jailed for racially aggravated offence? No, he wasn't jailed for a racially aggravated offence. If somebody had said that they wanted to go out and kill a black man, that would be a racially aggravated offence, wouldn't it? But apparently saying you want to rape a white girl is not racially aggravated. I'm not sure whether this man is an illegal immigrant or his asylum status. He is quite clearly of African heritage. You can see that from the pictures of him. Quinton Brown launched his terrifying attacks on the family at around 8 p.m. in Birmingham city centre on January 17th, where people responded to reports that the 52-year-old targeted a group of young girls and a woman in a wheelchair. Why is it that we have to put up with this sort of thing? And when we complain about this sort of thing, we get accused of hate speech. This family that were horrified to see this black man saying that he wanted to rape them, this family would never have had that happen to them if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy. I'm not trying to get people to hate on black people. The fault lies squarely with the government for allowing this to happen. Brown of Harlech Close, Bartley Green, approached his victims with his trousers down while making the flurry of sexual remarks. The attacker told West Midlands police his name was Milky Bar Kid and then passed out, and when officers arrested him, he told the force he was intoxicated and had taken drugs. So, of course, it's not his fault. But that was in his mind, wasn't it, that he wanted to rape a white woman? Regardless of whether he's taking drugs or not, that was still in his mind. Later, the dad of two claimed he wanted to be detained because he feared for his safety. The defendant appeared at Birmingham Crown Court on Monday and admitted exposure as well as two counts of assault. So not racially aggravated exposure, not racially aggravated assault, but just simple exposure and assault, because, of course, the victims were white. In the words of the law, it's something is aggravated if mention is made of a protected characteristic. Not even if that's the reason for this, but even if just a protected characteristic comes into it, then that's supposedly aggravated by hate. That's hate crime. That's an aggravating factor. And yet nothing was done about this because the victim was white. Even though he explicitly said, I want to rape white girls, they don't seem to have seen that as a racially aggravated factor. And that's because these laws about racially aggravating factors have basically created a two-tier system. You have one group of people, non-whites, who can't be prosecuted for them, and you have white people who can be prosecuted for them. So white people are second-class citizens in their own country because of these laws. This just proves it. This case here proves it. Simon Hunker, prosecuting, told the court one man noted this defendant approaching a group of females. He said, "I want a white woman," and grabbed one of them by the face. It was after that he pulled down his trousers. It just cast it the other way, as if a white man had gone up to a black woman and said that. It would clearly be racially aggravated. Brown then approached a mother with her two children and sister near West Midlands Police Headquarters, the court heard. The prosecutor said all of them saw this defendant stumbling around with his trousers and underwear around his ankles, exposing his penis. The defendant noticed them and approached. He said, "Hi, girls, I want to rape a white girl." He repeated that a number of times. He then grabbed the face of one of the women, knocking her glasses onto the ground. So he's repeating this. It's not just he said this once. He's repeating it. He's quite clear about what he wants to do. The children began to cry hysterically. The family ran into Lloyd House and reported what happened. And of course, the children are going to be traumatised by this, aren't they? After the shocking ordeal, Brown made his way to Colmore Row and knocked a young woman out of her wheelchair. So again, you have somebody who's disabled. He's knocked her out of the wheelchair. Surely that's got to be aggravated by a dislike of the disabled. A waiter working nearby said he saw the defendant with his trousers around his ankles shuffling along masturbating, with members of the public running into the restaurant for safety. Ewing Campbell, defending, told the court Brown struggled with his mental health following release from jail in 2025. So this is somebody with a previous criminal record. Mr. Campbell said the defendant was intentionally trying to get himself arrested after fearing for his safety while living in a nearby HMO at Perry Bar. Well, surely there are other ways that he could get himself arrested rather than trying to rape a white woman. Brown, appearing on a video link from prison, told the court, "I didn't behave properly. My brain was scattered. I was scared. I'm very, very sorry." Judge Dean Kershaw told him, "The reality is what you did on that day was really quite disgusting, and you know it. You said so. You are ashamed of what you did. These kind of things affect people for a long, long time, even though for you it is short-lived. People have to understand the effect it has on these victims." So that's pretty good that he is condemning him here. But then we get this bit. I believe your remorse is genuine. You are genuinely sorry. I know from the way you said that means it's completely out of character for you to have done this. Why doesn't he mention the fact that this is motivated by an atavistic hatred of white people? It was specifically a white girl that he wanted to rape. Brown was sentenced to 10 months in prison and is currently serving a sentence for a previous crime, having been recalled to prison. So he was actually on license. The defendant had 16 previous convictions for 24 offences, including wounding with intent, possession of a gun, robbery and assault. So he sounds like a thoroughly nice person, doesn't he? Well done to the government for allowing him in. In 2023, he received a suspended sentence for threatening someone with a meat cleaver on the city centre landmark known as the Ramp. Well, this is the sort of person that I hope Restore Britain will be deporting once the sentence has finished. I think something like 10%, maybe even 20% of the people in prisons are of foreign ancestry, and they just take them out of the prison and they put them back into the country again when they should be removed. The first people that should be removed are the illegal immigrants and the illegal immigrants that are in prison. Then after that, you need to start moving the people who have foreign ancestry that are carrying out these attacks. I mean, this woman and this family and all those people would not have been traumatized by this if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy, as I say. And we know that people of non-white ancestry are more likely to carry out sexual attacks, and it ranges depending on the ethnicity. Afghans and Eritreans are the worst, something like 20 times more likely to rape or sexually assault a white woman than a white man is. And this man does look like, as I say, looks like he has African ancestry there. Perhaps he was Eritrean. In any way, these people would not have been shocked by this if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy. And I'm thankful for Restore Britain drawing attention to these sorts of things, and that if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy, these things would not be happening. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.